Hey everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie, I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you to the show. I want to let you know that we are in the chat room. You can find me over at 12radio.com. That's number 12radio.com. Click on the chat button and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. If you would rather watch than listen, you can go to YouTube and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic and you'll find the live stream. Unfortunately, for some reason, Facebook is not currently letting me post on my Katie Weaver page, my business page, and so I can't live stream there right now. I can't post the Daily Dish or Luminous there or anything. I can't figure out why. It's been going on for about 3 weeks, so it's saying that my account is restricted for reasons, you know. I don't know what the reasons are, but I guess if that's how it is, Facebook, that's how it is. I only have so much energy for you, Facebook. But either way, we're here. So, want to say welcome. How did you do with that full moon? We had a blue moon on Sunday the 31st of May, which, by the way, was my 29th wedding anniversary. That's right. I know. Completely crazy. I have had quite the week. I have a lot to tell you about. First of which being that we did go to the safari park as we had planned, and it was awesome. And so I talked about this place last year quite a bit, but we had season passes to this park last year. Thanks, you guys. And so, of course, I wanted to buy a season pass this year, too, partly just, you know, so we can go whenever we want, but also just to support these guys because they're doing something really amazing with Red Fox Preservation that I very much support. You didn't know I got married when I was 16? Right? I actually got married when I was 19. Close, though. But I started dating Scott when I was 14, so yeah, we certainly raised each other, and sometimes I have to wonder, like, what the hell I was thinking. Just kidding. But anyway, we went to the wildlife park, and we had the most amazing experience in the world. When we got into the elk enclosure, the elk are in this big open meadow. It's gorgeous. And last year when the elk started having babies, we realized that we didn't know because the elk hide their babies in the tall grass. So wherever you see all the adult elk grazing, the babies aren't there. They literally hide them. And we didn't know that. And it took us a long time to start identifying where the babies were. So when we went through this time, we didn't even know if they had babies yet. The deer didn't have any fawn. But as we pulled in, I saw that there was a baby kind of right along the roadway. And it was a ways from where we were. It's a big winding, you know, kind of thing. And so we didn't get there for quite a while. When we get there, we realize there's a mama nearby and that this baby was just born. Like, she must have just eaten all of the stuff off of him. We watched him take his first steps. We watched him latch on. We watched her cleaning him. We watched her lay back down and birth the afterbirth. Oh my God, the entire thing was so damn amazing. It's hard to imagine. So we have 10 minutes of footage that I put on my Facebook page, but I'm going to show you about a minute and 24 seconds. This was right as we came up on him.
Oh, she's still got placenta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but pretty much just the coolest thing ever. Oh my gosh, we watched forever. And we had discovered one other baby that was out in the taller grass. So we went back the next day because we wanted to check and see how the baby was doing. And the two babies that we had seen the day before were nestled in some tall grass together. And you wouldn't have even known they were there, except for that occasionally you could see a little teeny ear twitch. But then we came around the corner and discovered a brand new baby as well, with a mama very nearby. It was kind of a similar situation. I think he was a little bit older, but like maybe by a few hours. But anyway, how amazing is that? Yeah. I think we're going to go back today after this show. I've got to go see how things are going. But a few other fun things we saw while we were there. The bears. The bears always crack me up this time of year because they are in the fall, they're so much bigger. And then you get back in the spring and they're these skinny bag of bones, and doing it all over again. But the bears have been really, really active. They're just so freaking cool. But my absolute favorite on this farm is these guys, the foxes. So they started because they were helping to preserve all of the different colors of red foxes, because apparently all the different colorations are starting to die out. And there's another guy in, I think, Nebraska, who's been on this project for quite a while, and these guys joined him in preserving red fox colors. So red foxes aren't just red, they are every color you can imagine, like this little guy that's white with some black tips here. Of course, there is the traditional red with the white tip on its tail. And in fact, that's how you know it's a red fox, by the white tip on its tail. All red foxes have a white tip. If you see a black tip, you're looking at an Arctic fox. But they range from gray to black to red to kind of a grayish color to more of an orangey color to a darker brown. It's incredible. Next time I go, I'll try and get a few more pictures of examples so that you can see. But I thought this darling little girl right here was so freaking cute. I don't know if she was a girl, but she's so cute, I think so. Anyway, but is that elk thing just the coolest thing you've ever seen? Answer, yes. They do have a bunch of red dogs, that's baby bison, but they have a bunch of piebald bison that are white, which is a really rare trait. But they managed to get some, and it's interesting because we saw this time some black mamas with the piebald babies. I'm really amazed at that genetic, right? But they're so cute. I didn't take any pictures. I'll have to get you a picture of them too, but they've got five bison babies, I think, two piebald and three black. They're beautiful. They're so freaking cute. They call them red dogs because they are kind of reddish when they're born, and then they'll usually get a little darker as they get older. But oh, Tara said her little Percy dog reminds her of a tiny fox. I always call Bruno a little fox because of the way he sleeps. He sleeps buried his with his little face buried in his tail, like foxes do. Yeah. Oh, so sweet. Anyway, so that all happened. But also, over the weekend, Scott and Christy and I attended. My hair is driving me crazy. I apologize. I spent so much time getting ready for this show and prepping Luminous that I got in the shower a little late. My hair's still wet. So, anyway, I don't like to come on the air with wet hair very bad, but here we are. Oh, that's how Percy sleeps too. That's so sweet. Well, at long last, we finally went to the reptile convention. And it was amazing. This was the first like big public outing that I've been in my chair. I'm incredibly grateful for it because I was able to get through the whole event, see everything I wanted to see. We had to park quite a long ways away, which would have been a huge problem for me had I not had it. So it worked out quite well. No big disasters. The only challenge there really is that there were so many people and people kept stepping you have to be careful. People don't realize you're there and they'll just step back. And so a few times I kind of had my hand against someone's back saying, right behind you, you know. But other than that, like honestly, it went just fine and it made it so I could attend. So we'll take it. But we went because we wanted to see the praying mantis. Scott and I have been big fans of praying mantis forever. We used to have a whole garden full of them. Our herb garden used to be packed with them a decade or more ago, and now we don't have any anymore. And we've been every year buying egg sacs and putting them out, hoping to get more of the natural, the native to this area, green praying mantises. But like these guys, but we haven't been very successful, so we keep doing it every year. But in the meantime, people are breeding all of these praying mantises from all over the world that are the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I've thought about ordering Scott. He really wants to raise praying mantises. I had thought about ordering some for him, but super expensive to ship them. And I don't know, it just feels weird to order them. So anyhow, we were hoping to find praying mantises, and we did. The cutest little teenage boy from Bozeman that has a mantis business. He was so dang cute, and I was so happy to get to buy a few things from him. So I'll show you what we got. Now, our mantises don't look like this yet. They are tiny. So this is an orchid mantis. They literally look like an orchid, especially if they're in like danger mode. The way they like arrange their wings and their body, they look like an orchid. Our orchid is a little female and she is tiny. She's like the size of, not even the size of my thumbnail. Well, maybe I'll give her that. She's probably the size of my thumbnail. And the wildest thing is the day we got her, when we woke up the next morning, she had molted in the night. So there was a exact replica of orchid in her enclosure. It was crazy. But she is so freaking beautiful. That's the one I really wanted, was an orchid, because look at how amazing that is. But we also bought, a jewel. Look at this. Now, again, these are full grown. These are mantises that have been through all of their molts, so it's likely that they've molted like 10, 12 times to get to this size. And the mantises we have molted once or twice. They're really little. But look at that. So that's called a jewel. And we bought a spiny flower. These guys are amazing. Those markings on their back, I think, are intended to look like eyes, maybe. But, you know, this is all protective gear to scare off or trick would-be predators. And then we came across a lady that had a bunch of rescue mantises. A gentleman that she knew who had, she actually has a reptile rescue. She had a bunch of rescue reptiles too, but I really don't want reptiles. I'm not afraid of reptiles, but I don't want to keep them. I don't want to keep things that you have to feed mice to. I've done that when we had our pet store. I hated it. I don't want to do that. It's honestly bad enough that these guys eat flightless fruit flies until when they're little, and when they get a little bigger, they eat red runner roaches. Yeah. Ugh. Scott's doing that part. But and you ought to see, my God, you guys, you take tweezers and you hand them their roach or their fly, and they just reach their hands out and take it and just gobble it up. Crazy as hell. They live in their own little like enclosures. They live alone. If not, they'll kill each other, so you have to keep them separate. And they live anywhere from 1 to 4 years, depending on the variety. So the lady who had the rescues had ghosts, these guys. And the ghost mantises are just meant to completely fit into bark of trees wherever they are. Ours really vary from a real darker black color to more of a, like a chocolate brown. They look like aliens. We had a pet store when we were first married. we went into it just loving animals, right? We were animal lovers. We had a lot to learn. We had to learn a lot about keeping fish. We'd had saltwater or freshwater fish, but we'd never had saltwater. So we had to learn all about keeping saltwater fish, which is let's call it a big body of information. But we also had to learn how to take care of all the different kinds of reptiles and spiders and things like that. We had the pet store for about 2 years, and then Petco came to town and completely destroyed our business overnight, like for real. And it was kind of okay, to be honest. The underbelly of pet stores, as many of you probably already know, is awful. And I was like 21. I didn't know, but I learned pretty quick that people in general really super suck, and they're very willing to buy animals that they don't understand anything about or know how to take care of. There's a lot of problematic things about pet stores, and when we closed, I was very ready to close and not be a part of that industry anymore. But ultimately, though, it was Petco that they were the new exciting gig in town, and we went from doing well to doing nothing. So, at any rate, it's fine. It was for the best. But yes, we did have a pet store. So long ago, like 27 years ago. Hard to imagine. So obviously, since we brought our mantises home, I've been doing a lot of reading and learning. I was doing that before. We already were all set and knew how to take care of them and what to do with them and that kind of stuff. But I was thinking about the lore of mantises because there are so many mantises. Oh, right, Jane? I've been a repo agent. Did you know that? I used to s steal cars legally for a living. That's a job. That's a hell of a job. I'll tell you about it sometime. Maybe you already knew that, but. Small town living, right? You have to diversify. Anyhow, so I was thinking about the lore of mantises because mantises are ancient. They absolutely, to me, look like dinosaurs or aliens. And they have been on this planet for so long, everywhere. And there are a lot of different cultures have a lot of mantis lore. And a lot of it ties into spirituality. So I decided we'd do a whole mantis show and talk about it. Before that, though, whilst talking about dinosaurs, Christy and I held a monitor at the fair. This was a hilarious experience. So, Christy didn't want to hold the monitor. And I was in my chair. So, obviously, they don't know. And so they were like, she didn't want to hold it, but I was like, we should hold it for our podcast. Our listeners would love this. And so she's like, okay, fine, we'll do it for the pod. Fine. They're like saying to me, because again, I'm in my chair, they're like, we can bring it right over here by you. And I'm like, oh no, I'll just stand up. That's fine. They're like, no, it's okay. We can get it. We can do this. And I'm like, seriously, I'll just stand. It's totally fine. So I stand up and I stand next to her. So next thing I know, first Christy's saying, no, I don't want to hold him, to them putting these leather gloves on her that go clear to her shoulders and handing her this enormous lizard. Look how big he is. He was so heavy. And his toenails were like this long. So it's hard to see in the picture, but he was trying to lick my face. His tongue kept like grazing my cheek. He tried really hard. Right after this, he tried to climb over onto me. And then they took him back from us. But, oh my gosh. He was so freaking cool. I can't imagine. He probably eats like guinea pigs, you know? Like they eat big. Oh. Can't do it, won't do it. But this was a hilarious experience. He did unfortunately give Christy a couple of pretty ugly scratches, but she's probably fine. He felt dry and scaly, in case you're wondering, and his underbelly was soft. but that tongue, and his tongue was forked. So he had this big, long, forked tongue that kept, like, flicking out and, like, grazing my cheek. It was so crazy. I wasn't shying away. I'm like, but whatever's going to happen here is going to happen. I've had a good run. It's fine. Anyway, I enjoyed it more than Christy did. I'll be honest about that. Anyway, let's get back to our topic at hand. We're going to talk about the sacred mantis. Okay. And hello to all of you in the chat, by the way. Good to have you all here. Let me double check the other chat room. Sometimes I forget where I am and what I'm doing. Yeah, let me get back to the other chat room real quick, you guys. Sorry. There's not a lot going on in the 1-2 Radio chat room. Usually you're mostly in my live stream, but I'm still not here to ignore you. Okay. All right. Jane said, if it doesn't have fur, I don't want to pet it. Go, Christy, for taking one for the team, right? This is not the first time. One time we were at a petting zoo that had the cutest baby goats, like pygmy goats, and they would not get anywhere near us. And she was a poor college student at the time, and I'm like, you know, if you'd hop the fence and grab one of those baby goats so we could pet it, I'd pay you $20. And that girl, I mean, she was like an Olympic hurdler, man. She threw herself over that little fence and grabbed a baby goat. Best $20 ever spent. Now, the goats were for, I mean, we weren't like stealing someone's baby. They were big enough that it's not like we were taking it off their mama or something. And we held it for like 2 minutes and put it back. But I did. $20. I'll pay $20 to pet a baby goat. Hell yes. By the way, totally off topic, but I discovered that there is a peony farm here, and it's a U-pick. So they have two specific days, and you know, peonies only bloom for 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 weeks out of the year, but you get to go during that time, which would be now, and you pay a certain amount of money and you get to just pick the ones you want and pick your own and cut your own peony bouquet. And by God, I'm doing that. Can you believe that? Peonies. They're so special. Anyway. Right? Kara was with me too. And she was also a poor college student at the time. She refused to do it, but Christy had no hesitation, man. She needed that $20. Alrighty. This episode is called The Sacred Mantis. Messenger Between Worlds edition, because that's what I discovered about mantises, is that many cultures in different parts of the world and throughout time have seen the mantis as some kind of a messenger between worlds. So, let's talk about it. So, most of the symbolism that repeats is about patience, stillness, awareness, strategic action, spiritual listening, intuition, timing, and higher perspective. Many cultures see the mantis have seen the mantis as some kind of like a wise man, which I think is pretty freaking cool. In ancient Africa, there's probably more mantis lore than anywhere else, except for maybe China. The Khoisan people of southern Africa have mantis in a lot of their stories as a creator figure, a trickster, a teacher, a divine messenger, not unlike the way coyote is seen in northern and southern American mythology. So, the Khoisan traditions portray the mantis as a creator deity, a bringer of fire, a shapeshifter, a guide between worlds, and a teacher of survival. And I have a few of their legends. And so I'm hoping, if we have enough time, I'll share a few of their legends with you at the end of the show. The Greek. They saw the mantis as a prophet. The name mantis comes from the Greek word mantikos, meaning prophet, seer, or diviner. Aristotle and other Greek observers noted its unusual behavior, because if you've ever seen a mantis move, they move very slowly for the most part until they don't, until they reach out and grab food. But for the most part, they're very, very slow. They don't, they're not the ones fluttering around the lights or moving quickly and zooming around. No, the mantis moves very slow. And of course, it's called typically a praying mantis because those front pincers, claws, fingers, whatever you want to call them, they frequently hold them together like they're praying. So ancient Greeks thought that the mantis could point travelers in the correct direction to help reveal hidden truths. There's lore in Greek mythology about people getting lost and needing to know which direction to go and seeing a mantis sitting on a rock or something, pointing or directing them in the right direction. So they were associated with divination, prophecy, guidance, and sacred direction. So the idea remains that if you see a mantis, it could be that you are being guided down a particular path. So, ancient Egypt. The guide of souls. Not as prominent in Egypt iconography as scarabs or ibises, but mantises do appear in some Egyptian funerary traditions. I'm going to try it again. Funerary traditions. You can't be lazy with your speech with words like that. Some scholars believe the mantis was associated with guiding souls through the afterlife. And some ancient texts reference insect-like beings who escort the dead through spiritual realms. And that may have been the mantis. It's pretty interesting. Themes with that include safe passage, spiritual transition, death and rebirth, and guidance between worlds. And then we have China. And in China, the mantis was seen as a master of strategy. There's an entire form of martial arts called praying mantis. Because of praying mantis kung fu. There's northern praying mantis kung fu and southern praying mantis kung fu because of the way the mantis moves. So in China, mantises were symbols of precision, focus, fearlessness, and calculated action. So in kung fu, practitioners studied how the insect waits patiently, conserves energy, strikes only when necessary, and adapts instantly. So spiritually, it's translated into the belief that wisdom often comes through restraint rather than force. In Japan, mantises have symbolized courage. Due to the fact that even though they are small, I mean big in the insect world, not all of them, but they will challenge creatures many times larger than themselves. And that made the Japanese look at them with fearlessness, determination, personal honor, and spiritual discipline. Japanese poetry has portrayed the mantis as a reminder that bravery is not the absence of fear, but the willingness to stand one's ground. In indigenous North America, Various indigenous traditions across North America have also had some manta symbolization. Themes including observation, silence, listening, and spiritual awareness. And some traditions viewed unusual insect encounters as messages requiring careful interpretation rather than immediate action. There's a real theme here of pausing before reacting, of waiting before you take action, of observing before you do anything else. So the mantis offers stillness. They can remain motionless for astonishing lengths of time. In fact, if you've ever seen a mantis in the wild, you may have wondered if it was even alive, because they'll remain still no matter what. Not even a little flick of an antenna, nothing. I've had them on my porch before that I thought were dead and scooped them up, only to realize, nope, they are very much alive, just holding completely still. Mantises don't rush, they don't panic, and they don't waste energy. They wait. And then, when the moment is completely right, they will act. You can see them as symbols of mindfulness, meditation, intentional living, strategic decision making. I like that today in spirituality, we look at mantises kind of as a reminder to stop forcing outcomes and allow clarity to emerge. Because how often are we tempted to force an outcome? We are very right now people. We have been accustomed to believe that we should have everything we want immediately, that we are entitled to that, that's how the world works. Why? Because so much is available right at our fingertips, right? You want something? You're very likely to be able to find it somewhere, somehow, and have it delivered to your house in a day or two, right? You're hungry, you want food, you can order it. It'll be here in a minute. You're bored, you can buy a book and have it in your hand in 60 seconds. You want information about something? The internet will provide it to you in a flash. We don't wait for anything. We don't have to. And when we do, we're astonished. I think this is where you see so much bad behavior, like at restaurants and airports and stuff, where people have just completely forgotten that they can and should, wait for shit occasionally. The whole world doesn't have to be delivered to you on a silver platter in the palm of your hand, nearly before you ask, right? And because of that, we tend to try to force an outcome. We want an immediate answer. What if waiting brought better things into your life? Well, we won't know because we want it right goddamn now. Oh gosh. What does it mean if a praying mantis appears? Well, it could mean you're at my house. Or it could mean that it's a call to slow down, that perhaps life is moving too fast and the mantis is asking you to be more present. It could mean that it's time to stop and trust your intuition. It could mean that you already know the answer, but you haven't given yourself enough quiet to hear it. It could be a reminder to observe before acting. It could mean that not every situation requires immediate action. Man, is that a big lesson for a lot of us. Sometimes you don't need to do anything. Sometimes no response is a response. The mantis could be asking you to be strategic. Mantises don't waste effort, right? They don't waste energy. They don't do unnecessary things. It probably means they're not petty as hell, you know? Just a thought. The mantises prepare for transformation because they are always preparing for their next molt. Like many insects, mantises shed their exoskeletons repeatedly through life. Don't we too, in a lot of ways? I mean, yeah, you don't just wake up one morning and have climbed out of your whole skin suit and left it laying on the bed, and you're a whole new, fresh version of yourself. That's horrifying to think about. But emotionally, spiritually, and sometimes physically, we make huge transformations. We don't stay the same our whole lives, not by any sense of the word. And we do, of course, grow. And this is how they grow physically, is through molting. But yeah. Oh, cool. Jane said she's never seen them in California, but in New Jersey they appeared around her birthday. I love that. But because of the molting, it helps them to show up as symbols of growth and personal evolution. How about shadow symbolism? Excuse me. Not every mantis lesson might be comfortable, right? We tend to only want to hear what we want to hear. What if the mantis is representing impatience, hypervigilance, isolation, waiting too long, analysis paralysis, right? The ways we get in our own way. A mantis message may sometimes ask, "Are you listening deeply enough?" But it might also ask, "Have you waited so long you've stopped moving altogether?" That's that analysis paralysis. Sometimes that's also like ADHD paralysis or creativity paralysis, where you've just allowed an idea to stagnate for so long that you just can't move forward with it anymore. And when that happens, sometimes it just means it's time to abandon it altogether for a while and do something else. Kelly's ReFeminist History this week are her June 2026 Bitch Scopes, the monthly overview. They're awesome. It's quite the month, actually. Astrologically speaking, definitely worth reading them and getting a sense of what you can expect coming up. I put together a sacred mantis spread that you can do with your cards. Just thinking about the mantis itself and what its lessons are. So we're not going to do it today, but you can do it with yourself. No, I guess we are going to do it today. I'm feeling like we should. Okay, never mind. We're going to do it today. I'm just going to use my old standby here, the psychic tarot. Wonder if there's any mantis oracle cards. Now that would be cool as hell. I'm shuffling. I'm going to do a collective reading for us for June with the mantis spread. So, again, this will be a reading that applies to all of us as the collective. So, the card in the first position is What Am I Not Seeing? I'll pull that card first. The second card is Where Should I Pause? The third position is What Deserves My Attention? Fourth position, What Action Should I Take with a typo? Sorry about that. And the fifth position, what transformation is beginning? All right, so the cards are pulled. So We'll start with first position. What am I not seeing? Disruption. This card is saying that you are not seeing the disruption around you the way you should. That usually means that you are very distracted. When you're very distracted, you miss out on sometimes the more sensitive bits. Sometimes you get too focused on the things that don't matter. So the disruption card in this spot tells me that what we're not seeing is how much our attention is being pulled away from the things that matter. This could be in any aspect of your life, but that means be vigilant. Look beyond what you're seeing, right? Stop and think. Get information from many sources. Where should I pause? The answer is shadow. My gut feeling on this card, with this position and this card, is where you should pause is judging yourself, or I'm going to try and put that in better terms. Judging yourself is part of it, but what I really mean is where you should pause is holding yourself too responsible. For example, you meet somebody you've never met before. You immediately don't like them. They haven't done anything to you. They haven't said anything to you that would warrant that behavior, but for whatever reason, you don't like them. Empaths tend to judge themselves. Maybe I'm just being a bitch. Maybe I'm just judging them. Maybe I'm being a jerk. Rather than listening to your spirit saying no, right? We tend to talk ourselves out of our intuition when it makes us uncomfortable. That's what I'm talking about here. So what should you pause? You should pause trying to talk yourself out of your gut feelings, even if they're uncomfortable. What deserves my attention? Man. This whole reading is calling us the hell out. This is the Suffering in Silence card. So what deserves my attention? Your pain. Your worry. Maybe your sickness. The things that are making you uncomfortable right now deserve your attention. This card is telling you to stop suffering in silence and do something about it. Have the hard conversation, if that's what it takes. Make the appointment. Do the things that you need to do for yourself. Give some attention to those parts of you rather than trying to ignore them away. Maybe this is emotional pain. Maybe it's time to get a therapist. Maybe it's time to deal with a relationship or a friendship that's making you miserable. Maybe your physical body needs some attention, and it's time to do it. But whatever it is that you're suffering through, this month is asking you to give it some attention and do something about it. Take some action. I think we all get to be a little too comfortable with building up some walls and excuses and just letting them live in us for years because we don't want to have to deal with something when that may not be the way things are anymore at all. I'll give you the dumbest example. I really struggle with shoes because my feet swell the way they do, and because I was born with a birth defect in my feet, my feet struggle. I have a hard time with shoes. And I had discovered several years ago, Hey Dudes, that I do really well as far as being able to wear Hey Dudes because they swell with you. But I've been struggling with, as you know, walking and things. And my physical therapist told me, I know you can wear the Dudes without pain, but they are not doing you any favors. And I was struggling with my right foot every morning, waking up with it really swollen and hurting. And what I read was I needed to come up with some compression shoes to wear around the house because I don't wear shoes in the house usually. So this is a long winding story to say I discovered all kinds of wide width shoes in every function, everything I could possibly desire in shoes, and especially shoes specifically for feet that swell. I bought dress shoes for Mia's wedding. I bought 2 pairs of compression shoes, a pair of tennis shoes. These shoes did not exist 10 years ago. Somehow, in my mind, I guess I just decided that they just don't exist at all. Turns out, no, they're everywhere. I've now bought a bunch of shoes because I can, and I can wear them, and they're cute, and they don't kill me. And I had decided, what, like I said, probably 10 years ago or more, that they just didn't make shoes for me. That's not true at all. Times change. The point is, I know, dumb example, but the point is, times change. Things change. So if you're suffering because of walls you've put up, or barriers that you've built, or excuses you have given yourself over the years, it could be time to reevaluate that because times change and change. That's what I meant. Number four, what action should I take? Solar plexus chakra. So, what should you do? Work on your self-esteem, work on your personal power, work on your courage, work on your willingness to shine your own light. I mean, I could lecture you for an hour on working on your solar plexus, and I've done that many times. So, I'm not going to do it today, but I think you get the point. And then, lastly, what transformation is beginning? The firm foundation card. This is the root chakra card in this deck, but this is also a card that indicates that the transformation that's beginning is feeling more centered, more stable, more capable, and more like you have a hold on your life and what's going on. We'll take it. What a spread. Sheila said this is a good spread to use, simple, clear, and direct. Thank you. Yeah, it's easy. And it lays the whole thing out. Jane said the shoe analogy is great, totally resonates. Yeah, it's actually kind of exciting. Now I have cute shoes. The one pair I've had several compliments on, and I'm like, wow. No one ever likes my shoes. Nellie does, though. There's one pair that she carries one of those shoes outside every single day. When Scott goes outside and finds it for me. Every day. She doesn't chew up shoes, but she loves to steal them. Just one. I swear, I think that her reasoning is that if she takes your shoes, then you can't go anywhere. And you'll have to stay home with her. Okay. Christy's energy exercise is the root crown connection. Lots of crime over at True Crime Squad. And lots of meditations at Planet Meditation. So that's it for Luminous. But as promised, I said if we had time, I would share a few legends with you surrounding the praying mantis, so we do have time. So I'd like to share just a couple with you that I found to be really interesting. Jane has a bit of a shoe addiction. I'm getting there, good Lord. And also really need to put them away, obviously. Because Nellie does too. Okay. So this is a story from the Khoisan people of Southern Africa. Long ago, the moon watched humanity and felt compassion for them. The moon understood that people feared death and wanted them to know a secret. Just as the moon disappears and returns again, life itself is a part of a cycle. Death is not necessarily the end. So the moon chose a messenger. The moon sent Mantis to humanity with a message. As I die and return again, so shall you die and return again. But before the message could be delivered, a hare crossed paths with Mantis. Whether through carelessness, misunderstanding, or mischief, the message was changed. Instead, humanity was told, as the moon dies, so shall you die and never return. When the moon learned what happened, it was furious. The hare was struck across the face, leaving the split upper lip that hares are said to carry to this day. And because of that mistake, death became permanent. This is the legend of how the mantis put the moon in the sky. The Khoisan people tell a lot of stories about the mantis, but this one is an interesting one also about the moon. Interesting that there's lots of stories that cross paths between the mantis and the moon. So in this story, the mantis was walking across the earth wearing a pair of old leather sandals. And for whatever reason, the mantis became angry and frustrated and flung one of his sandals high into the heavens. Up it flew, higher and higher, until it settled in the night sky and became the moon itself. The reddish coloring that sometimes appears on the moon is said to come from the dust that clung to the mantis's sandal. Interesting in this story that the sandal becomes the moon, the insect becomes a creator. A sacred animal of the Khoisan people was the eland, and the eland appears in ceremonies, artwork, and stories that stretch back thousands of years. And in one tale, the mantis raises a young eland and cares for it deeply and watches over it as it grows and becomes beautiful. But not everybody understands why the mantis is so attached. And one day, while the mantis is away, others kill the eland. And when the mantis returns and discovers what happened, the mantis is overcome with grief. The eland, by the way, it's an antelope of sorts. So, in different versions of this story, the mantis's sorrow is so profound that his mourning becomes connected to celestial and transformations in nature. Like his grief changes the seasons or the pathway of the sun and the moon. In China, the mantis and the cicada is a fable that's been quite famous. And this is a mantis that tells a story about a mantis stalking a cicada. The mantis is completely focused on catching its meal and doesn't notice an oriole bird behind it preparing to catch the mantis. And it's the basis for a Chinese proverb that you may have heard before. Maybe you haven't, but the proverb is, the mantis stalks the cicada unaware of the oriole behind. I mean, the meaning's pretty clear, but basically, if you become so focused on what you want, you may fail to see the picture. I loved that. Anyway, there's so many more, but I don't have time for them today, but I thought the lore of the mantis was pretty dang interesting, and that you guys might find it as fascinating as I do. So, now you know. Now, because we talked about it, you'll probably start having mantises show up in your feed, and you'll be like, that damn Katie. Well, let you know that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. You can find me over there every day doing readings, healings, energy work, animal communication, mediumship. I'll do whatever I can to help out. If it's important to you, it's important to me. So don't ever think that you're coming to me with something that is small or petty or not that big of a deal. If it's weighing on you, it's enough for us to work on it together. If you're feeling weird and just cannot seem to get grounded and in your body, just can't get your shit together, give me a call. We'll do some good grounding and energy work and get you back on your horse faster than you would think. But don't suffer in silence. There is just no reason for it whatsoever. All righty. Well, I will be back next week, same place, same time. This has been yet another edition of the Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Take care.